Ik zeg, wel, check je tenje goji aan DL de Bit. Let me zeggen, Brandon Utavnia en Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to DL de Bit. Now live on Highland Radio. We're back via the podcast. Thanks to legendary Ivan Borland for the Power of Plus and, of course, Ryan Brawley for the news there. Great to be back after the bank holiday weekend. We are produced this evening by the head of sport, Oisin Kelly. I'm delighted to say he's joining me. Joe Dex is off doing a bit of Formula One in Monaco, exotic and all that it is. Oisin's here looking after us, producing this evening. He's going to join in a minute because we're going to speak with hurling banister Mickey McCann. That's coming up shortly after his side's draw in the Christie Ring Cup with Roscommon at the weekend. We're going to talk to Mickey shortly. After that, we will speak with Frank McGlennon, one of our heroes of 2012, and Kieran Cunningham, top GAA correspondent on all things GAA, and of course looking ahead to that huge clash, the big draw of round one, Donegal away to Kerry. And I'm really looking forward to getting the lads' views on the GAA news and where they see our county footballers now after that down defeat, of course, and looking into the All-Ireland series. Are we still number two contenders to the Kerry men? Well, we'll find out a bit in Killarney. Myself and Oisin will be, and Brendan Kilcoyne will be down bringing us all the action. Of course, just a quick note from the weekend, Donegal Miners had a 2-point victory over the Down men. Well done to them. A young McGinley, Mark Anthony McGinnis, the famous name up from St. Michael's there. He was man of the match. Well done to them. They play Monaghan up next. That's, of course, the goalkeeper from St. Michael's. Well done to the Miners. Get out and support the lads if you can. As I was saying at the top of the show, Mickey McCann joins us now on the show to talk about that Christie Ring draw at the weekend. Oisin Kelly is here. Oisin covered the game as well. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brent. All right, Oisin.
Great to have you on. Mickey, great to have you on. Oisin's here. He was covering the match at the weekend. Mickey, just, I was looking briefly, the first half, Roscommon sweeper, good few wides, probably set the platform for what happened in terms of not taking the victory for the game.
Yes, Brent, I suppose 11 wides tells its own story, you know, in the first half with the one behind us and maybe three or four short. They had a sweeper in place, you know, so we're, the force is only shooting from 45 out, you know, a lot of times, and normally our lads would be fairly accurate from that distance, you know, but look, on the night we were really poor in front of the post, so we just weren't firing in the forward line, you know, so ended up costing us, Brent, a bit frustrating for us, you know. We expected a bit was coming, to be honest with you. Now, they were well set up in the night and they were up for it. They were pushing to keep their status in the competition as well, so they had a lot to play for. Look, it's a game we could have lost, Brendan. We're 4 points down the second half. We dug deep and probably could have pushed on to win it in the end, but I feel the harm was done in the first half with that bit of breeze behind us, you know.
Yeah, and when they go sweeper, Mickey, what, do you automatically take the spare man on your side, or have you a possibility to push up? How do you normally deal with that?
Well, Bren, you push up and then they're dictating where the space is, and they have three or four lively forwards, so we just let Kevin Keeley sit on our side, you know, and he did get on a good few ball, and you would push up normally if you're not creating a chance. The problem was we were creating a lot of chances, so we were happy enough to sit with our sweeper and ping points off, you know, but we just kept hitting wides, Bren, and look, it just give them pure oxygen. Every wide we hit, they were loving off it, so... Look, frustrating for the lads, you know, training, they've been shooting fairly well, but over the last couple of games, our scoring ratio in front of the post haven't been good enough, you know.
Yeah, and Oisin, you were covering the games, another great day for hurling, and certainly a bit of buzz about, you know, you can see the county getting behind the team.
Yeah, there was a bit of buzz, surely. As Mickey said, the first half, they weren't really on it or up to it, but the game livened up in the second half, and Mickey will probably agree with me here, took more of the experienced players, the likes of Declan Coulter and Jared Gilmore in that final quarter to bring Donegal back into it. And listen, I love covering the hurling.
Yeah,
so I really enjoy it. And I've told Mickey this on several occasions. The second half, it was a much better performance. And yes, the people got entertainment there. But again, Donegal just be frustrated with the first half and the amount of wides that there was. It was 11 in the first half, and that effectively cost them. But as I said there, Mickey, the likes of Coulter and Gilmore were the guys that sort of pulled Donegal back into it, and then obviously then the scoring of Liam McKinney and that as well. That was sort of key in that final 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, it was, you know, the two lads you mentioned, it, Jerry and Decky, you know, put over important points for us at an important stage in the game. We were four down, actually, at one stage, and they between them three or them two plus Liam McKinney, you know, they got us on level and a point up actually, you know. And I think apart from them three, the rest of our forwards never scored. The other two scores come from Conor O'Grady and Gavin Brown, who are defenders. So and any of the subs we put on never clicked the scoreboard either. So look, them three lads are big shift for us and got the scoreboard taken over for us. But as you say, they were all guilty of hitting wides in the first half. And look, he felt sorry for Jared Gilmore. Maybe near the end, he had a chance or two that he would normally put over with his eyes closed. And he just drifted a wee bit wide, you know. But at the same time, he put over the important ones for us. So, look, it was mixed, lads. We probably would have been hoping we were in a position that if we won this week and Derry were beat, we'd be in a final. And the other one is we could have easily been beat by a point and hoping, trying to beat Meath to stay in a competition. So it's a bit mixed this week, but the main thing is at the start of the season we'd have been looking to beat Roscommon and Wicklow and stay in the competition and see where we're at then. So we've got a victory and a draw out of that and we're safe in it, and we'll give Meath a good rattle and thing. We, you know, the scores have to go our way, but we'll look after our own house, you know.
Yep. What's the benefits then, Mickey, of being in the Christy Ring for another year, I suppose, particularly for the younger boys that are playing and the new guys that come into the group in the last couple of seasons?
I suppose, Ashin, since I took over, we've run the Nicky record three times, so you've got to push on, you know, and get that next level. And it's great last year to stay in it. This year we pushed on a wee bit more. But look, it's very important we're staying there. The level of hurling's far better to watch, more entertaining. And look, we're getting bigger crowds out there. A lot of young lads there, Marty McGrath, all he put six or seven clubs there, you know, under 12s at half time and stuff, and the parents all there. So it was great buzz, great crowd there, and they really got behind the team, you know. As you say, there was a good excitement there near the end. So it's important we stay at that level, you know. I just feel this year Kerry is probably Joe McDonagh team, and probably their name was in the cup before it started. I know we give them a good match in the league, but they beat Wicklow by 30 points there at the weekend, so there's a wee bit of difference in standard there. But we're quite happy to stay there. But I feel, you know, within the group, we felt we could have pushed for a final spot. But the importance of staying in Christy Ring's massive, Ash. And you go back to Nicky Record, it's no doubt a step backwards, and it's not easy getting out of there again.
Yeah, and just looking at it, going into the Meath game, Danny Collins back from suspension. Conor Garland, huge player for you. Mickey, do you have him back in as well? And mathematically, it's not out of the question yet, but it is going to take, I suppose, results going certain ways to get you in that final. It's a long shot, but at least, listen, you're playing for pride, and again, a big tie with a top team Meath.
Yeah, and I suppose it's great getting into the last day off the competition. We still a chance of getting there, you know. How Kerry approached the Derry game, you don't know. They're in the final already. I do feel they'd have their work cut out to beat Derry by 20 points, but look what they done to Wicklow last week, and Wicklow have beaten Derry. So you never know in a hurling game, Brendan, when a team gets momentum on you and they start hitting a few three pointers, the score doesn't be long adding up. So as I say, Meath, now I watched Meath last week. Meath's a damn good side, Brendan, and whatever was on the line on Sunday or Saturday was going to be a tough ask for us. But look, we beat them last year in a dead rubber, but Meath will feel, if they come and get 2 points in Letterkenny, they'll be back in Kerry to beat Derry maybe and feel that they'll be in the final. So we've got not as much pressure on us, but we'll be looking to make a good account of ourselves and see where we're at and try won the game and see what way the scores go, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is, Mickey. I was just talking about that Christy Ring, that progression, Mickey, particularly the Kerry match last year. And again, this year, you know, the fact that you played it'll be 50 minutes, there is levels that the team can go to. Is that bit of kind of getting to that? Is that where you as a coach want the team to get to? That's consistently. Now, that's a high bar, but it just shows you what's potentially in that team, Mickey, on a given day that they can reach those levels.
Look, Brian, I think we're really at a good level. You know, it's 90% of our teams from three clubs, you know. You take Meath, for example, they've 16 hurling clubs and teams like that, and Kerry, a load of pick from, you know. So we're really punching, I do feel. But as you say, on our day, I feel the hurlers in the county are well capable of reaching that level, you know. It was just doing it week in, week out, Brendan, has been a problem. We started really good against Wicklow and a great outing that day and probably worked really hard, and it was a great victory for us. Then went to Kerry and put a massive shift in, and, you know, you're bit by 3 or 4 points and we 14 men. But since that, you know, they were two big shifts for us. Since that, we've kind of dropped off a wee bit. So they really compete, they won the Christy Ring. We just got to get more consistency. And look, I do feel we'll get a lot of learnings. I've been at this only our second year in the competition, so you get a couple of years learnings at it, you can maybe push on more next year, you know.
Yeah, because Mickey, a few years back it wasn't really, 2B wasn't really a thing you thought you could stay in. Christy Ring was also maybe something was a wee bit above. Now you've kind of made that both things that are very, very achievable. As you said, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. I know what your plan is, you know, because you'll get a great workout in 2B next year, which again will serve you well going into the Christy Ring again. I suppose the big thing is to stay in 2B and try and make it maybe possibly to a Christy Ring final.
Yes, if lucky, the likes of Carlo and Westmeath coming to Letterkenny next year, maybe, whatever way the draw goes. But you have Carlo, who's probably going to be in the Joe McDonough final, Brendan, which is the level above. So there's going to be a couple of big tasks there next year. But great teams against coming to Letterkenny, you know, and it will get the crowds out for us. In terms of Christy Ring, Brendan, you look, Derry have never won the competition, so that shows you how tough it is to win. Like, they've been beaten five finals. So it's a really tough competition, and somebody was just stating to me the last day, like, if we ever got the Christy Ring final, we're the first team ever to play Lawrie Meagher, Nicky Rackert, and then get the Christy Ring final. So the progression's there, Bren. It's just not that simple of straightforward line, you know. You get wee turns in the road, and I think 2 years in it next year, we with Kerry maybe probably won it this year. I do feel in London coming down, it's a more task that can be got at, you know.
Yeah, Mickey, you're doing a fantastic job. So are you telling us then we've got you into a long-term contract again, is that?
No, well, I don't know, Brendan. It's a long time. I've said I wasn't going back a few times, and then we'll call it after next.
Nobody believes you anymore, Mickey. They don't believe you anymore.
We can't let you go now, Mickey, but you're doing too good of a job.
Told Ashen a few times, but look, that wee thing where you think you can get it to that Christy Ring final and get to that level is very tempting, you know, but it's a lot of commitment and stuff. And to be honest with you, we haven't sat down as a backroom team and chatted much about next year because it's been so busy. But it's just something we'll look at. And whoever, if it's not us and somebody else comes in, the team is there and the foundation's built for Donegal to push on to a Christy Ring, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, Mickey, as I say, massive respect to you and your backroom team and everybody involved in hurling. As Oisin was saying there, any day you see a game on that park, come out and watch it, because it's always a great occasion, hey, at O'Donnell Park, watching our Donegal hurlers. Mickey, good luck in the Meath game, and we'll be talking to you after.
All right, thanks, lads.
All right, cheers. See you, Mickey.
Yeah, you later.
Hey, what a job he's doing there, actually.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's brilliant. Oh, yeah. He's brilliant. And listen, Donegal, they will be disappointed now with Sunday, and they'll be disappointed with Derry the week before. And you were hoping at half, not that you were hoping that they could pull out of it, because you were a bit worried that what happened in Derry, that it might set in again for this Roscommon game. And next thing, they're in real trouble. So they're looking at relegation. But listen, they were able to do it, and they could have won it at the end.
Yeah.
Jared Gilmore did have two chances, and listen, it just didn't come off. But the point was good enough. The main thing is they're safe, and if Mickey and his backroom team can keep all the players together, like, there's a big spread of clubs there now, so there is at senior level as well. And if there was a young Letterkenny Gales boy, really talented hurler, Donal Farley, come on the weekend as well. And St. Eunan, Satanta, Burt, Richie Ryan, and Lowe.
That's right.
Who else is involved? There's a couple of Buncrana men, so there's an excellent spread
starting
there.
It's starting to grow, yeah.
It's starting to grow. And if they can keep everybody together and keep developing, and that the clubs in the county as well, the likes of the Burts, the Satanta, the Eunans, and the rest of them, at whatever level that they're at, that maybe they're winning county titles and then they get an experience in Ulster, because that'll stand to them as well. But if all parties can stick together, you never know, this time next year, I don't think they're going to make the, even though you said that it was an outside chance.
It's a very low chance.
They need a whole lot to go their way. But I don't think it's going to happen this time. But next year now. Because even to be in the position that they're in, they've won one game, lost two, and drawn one. Now, if they had a couple of more wins in there, they would have been primed for it.
Yes.
So they'll take learnings from it too. But they're not too far away, which is good.
Kerry seem a bit weary. I don't think they would have liked us in the final.
No, because we really put it up to them.
We did.
They are a very, very good hurling team. And Meath are a very good hurling team.
Yeah.
Like, Meath beat Donegal a couple of years ago.
We've seen Kerry put it up to teams, like the top flight teams, in the last number of years. They've taken on sides and given them a proper game. So you're really going up a couple of levels. So I fantastic stuff.
Nice to see Donegal have a real cut at Meath now at the weekend, because it's their last home game this year.
Get out and support them.
Saturday, 1:30 I think it starts. So it does this coming Saturday afternoon. I'll be there to watch it again.
No better, man. So I'll be there too.
Right.
100%. Oisin Kelly, thank you very much. After the break, we're going to talk with Frank McGlynn and Kieran Cunningham. Yes, welcome back to the show. Now we welcome Frank McGlynn, one of our heroes of 2012 and Top GA correspondent Kieran Cunningham. Lads, you're welcome to the show.
Hey, Brendan.
How are you getting on? Hey, Kieran, you heard us. Did you hear a bit of a hurling segment there? I remember years ago I used to ask you about your articles in the Star. You used to be burning the ear off Loch Nan, you used to tell me.
Yeah, well, that's any wee bit I know about hurling was from listening to him. So,
not a bad man. Not a bad man to get it from.
It didn't exactly come from a hurling heartland. actually, the first hurling game I was ever at in my life was a Waterford Limerick game, and I had a report on it many years ago. So, I wouldn't have liked to send it to any of the Waterford Limerick players that day that I'd never been to a hurling game before. But, yeah. But that's the way when you grow up, where we grew up.
Yeah, and you know what, Kane, a few times Oisin would send me out there. I remember the first hurling game, he sent me to cover. I'd be looking down, writing in who put the ball over the bar, and it'd be over at the other end of the pitch, and I was so used to our blanket defence days and possession. I'd be like, what happened there? So, like, before I'd even write down a name, the ball be over the bar at the other end. So listen, now it's a great game, and think, like, listen, our Donegal lads are flying it. Frank, tell me this, my man. I obviously travel around the Northwest with my job. I've been asked every day, multiple times a day, what happened VE down? Now, for my man, with Jim and his team, in terms of training and ups and downs and big games, can you shed any light on this down performance on the post-mortem? Because it's continuing still on while we get ready for this big game with Kerry.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, man, I'm no help either. I suppose it's probably been there at that stage in O'Donnell Park as well, and losing big games and scratching your head and thinking what went wrong, and going into games with huge confidence, and after 10 minutes, you know, the confidence being sucked out of you. And I even got the feeling, you know, watching the game, and, you know, Donegal had those early misses, and you thought with Michael's two-pointed free, then, you know, that it would settle the nerves, but they just never seemed to get going into a pattern, you know, where they would have had 10, 15 minutes of dominance. And to be fair to Down, you know, no matter what Donegal done when they got back level, even in the second half, Down were always there to kind of to push them back and do something to break the momentum. And I think the theories are still out there, and the questions are probably still there. But for me, it's about looking to the All Ireland series now, and we'll see the reaction. And I suppose in the long run, it could be a blessing. And I think that's what all Donegal, I suppose, fans are looking for now.
Mm. Kieran, you've obviously seen so many games throughout the decades there. You know, you look at teams, how well prepared they are now, and for every eventuality, and Donegal in the training camp and that. And then we've seen that. And of course, we've seen then the following week, Armagh absolutely dismantling that same Down team, 28 points. You know, what's your read into that in terms of us, and of course, then what happened down the following week?
Yeah, well, one thing is, like, a lot of what I said here is with the benefit of hindsight. Like, it wasn't saying it the week before the game. Yes. Like, I thought no matter what, I wouldn't have been surprised if Down were competitive for 55 minutes, but I thought it would end up the same as last year, that Donegal would have been a bit to spare in the end. But, you know, particularly the way the game has gone now, it's very easy. If a team gets a run at you, it can get ugly very quickly. Like, we saw that for Kerry in the league final. Like, they put a bit of a gloss on the scoreline later on, but it did look like it was going to be their heaviest defeat in their history at one stage. And that can happen, but I think, you know, there's a number of factors here. Like, it was a very hot day, and that did seem to affect Donegal's bigger men, you know, Down really went after them and ran them, and taking Caelan McGonagall out to go to mark Oran Murdoch, like, you had to do something of Murdoch, and Langan wasn't there, but then you're leaving a gap there at the centre defence, and they got the three goals, and they could have hit five or six goals, and that would be a concern. I think one thing I was worried about over the winter, I didn't think there was enough made about Brendan, is Donegal lost nearly the third of the squad. And, like, they weren't first choice players, most of them. Mm. But there were a lot of fellas that were getting game time, like Patrick McBrady, the most prominent. But then, you know, you're McFadden Ferry, Aaron Doherty, Oran Doherty, Niall O'Donnell. Yeah. probably missing a couple, like Jack McCalloway, I think, by the way. Caelan Ward, you know, he hadn't been getting much game time lately, but he'd been in the squad for 10 years, had played a lot of games. And then you had the long-term injuries to Sean Patton and Kieran Thompson. And so there was a lot, people were, you know, were excited about the younger players that came in and they'd made an impact. But you lost a lot of experience and you do need that. And I thought it was very telling that Jim only made 4 substitutions and none of the subs really made an impact. Yeah. And that showed to me that he doesn't have that trust in the squad that people were thought he might have. And one thing that concerns me is if you go back to last year's All-Ireland final, Kerry had either the third and fourth or fourth choice midfielder, or the fourth and fifth choice midfielder, depending on who in Kerry you talk to. If Donegal have a problem in midfield, you're looking at a bench and you're basically somebody that's untried, you have to throw in. You know, we don't have that backup at all. And if Kerry would have lost around that sector, they would have lost Mark O'Connor and Killian McDay, Dawsey Rules, you know. That they have the strength, and you have to mention, talk about Kerry, not just because we draw on them, but because Donegal have been coupled with Kerry a lot, that these are the two best teams in the country. And Donegal need everything right on the day. They need everybody to be on it. Against Down, only 2 or 3 players were on it. And I think you look at Donegal's best performances over the years, nearly everybody played well on the day. I think Donegal aren't a team that can carry, you know, 5 or 6 players who just aren't, isn't happening for them.
And Frank, what do you think about that around the squad? You know, we've seen obviously movements, you know, Shamey O'Max, Campbell, Young McCahill, boys that get, I suppose, as Kieran was saying, maybe filled the void in that squad. And Donegal were playing so well in games that it just seemed like it was up, up, up. And I suppose coming off the back of that brilliant performance against Kerry, everything did seem right. And I agree with Kieran. I never thought too much about the lads being missing because they weren't really missed. But maybe on a day like that, when you needed maybe experienced reserves, that could have been a bit of a difference to the team.
Yeah, I suppose there's definitely been a huge chunk of experience, probably in comparison to this past couple of years. I suppose during the league, you couldn't have asked for much more out of those younger players, you know, that stepped into the league football, and you know they done really well. Any one of them that got their chance took it. But I suppose in the past couple of years, Donegal probably, they were never really in that position where you were looking for the bench to come and take you back into a game. You were always, I suppose, looking to the bench to close out games and just to more or less keep the momentum going and just stay in front type scenario. So I suppose for someone coming into games without maybe that championship experience behind them, it's an even bigger ask then, you know, to throw them into a game to try and turn it on its head and get you back into a game. And you know, I suppose Kieran did mention, you know, the likes of Patrick McBerty there, you know, having an impact like Patrick coming in would be a huge boost with his experience. And I suppose the other side of things is too, a lot of the players, you know, probably didn't, you know, like Shakir Moore and them probably didn't have a sustained league campaign behind them either, you know, with injuries and niggles being picked up. That probably played a factor, you know, in the performance levels as well, because it can be difficult, you know, to step straight into championship without having games under the belt during the league, especially nowadays. I suppose when we were playing, we probably had maybe a 5-6 week break from your last league game to championship where you got into a chunk of training, you know, a real good, intense chunk of training. Whereas that window has probably been diminished now. You know, it's a lot tighter, so it is with the early start. And, you know, if you're not at it in the last couple of league games, you know, it's very hard to suddenly find that fitness or find that pace that you're looking for. But hopefully, you know, I'd say there's a huge squad there in training with Jim McGinnis and the boys, and I would say this last couple of weeks has probably been used to their best now with the look towards the All-Ireland series as well. And I suppose Kieran's point there too about Michael Langan, I suppose you look when you compare to last year's semi-final game against Down, Michael Langan had a huge game, not only I suppose taking care of Murdoch in midfield, but the scores that he was getting at the other end. You know, you take that sway where Murdoch's getting those scores and Donegal don't have that on the pitch, you know, it's a huge difference. So it is when you have a player of his calibre that, you know, that's missing from the play, that has been so, you know, almost guaranteed those 5-6 points every day you go out over this past two to three seasons.
Yeah, hopefully getting back soon. Kieran, do you think Donegal are a team that need a target, you know, in some ways? You know, you look at maybe Tyrone when Jim first came in, you think about, you know, Dublin then after, particularly 2014, the way Donegal goes after certain teams Do you think that's something that they need? And in many ways, Down were sitting going after us then, and maybe we didn't respond accordingly. But that'd be a wee bit of a mindset thing as well with Donegal. You know, you look at how up for we were a few weeks previous against Kerry because we had to address what happened in the final. You know, it brings the best from us then.
Yeah, well, you know, because you talk about a target, like Conor Laverty, you know, made it clear that the amount of work that they'd put in preparing for Donegal, I know Jim said, you know, they studied Down very closely as well. But you do think, like, this was everything to Down, whereas Donegal, you know, it wasn't Donegal's year. Like, Donegal have won a lot of Ulster titles. An Ulster title used to be a massive deal to us, but it's not as big as it was. You know, and I genuinely think it's very hard to win both Ulster and All-Ireland. It takes so much out of you. Like, if Donegal were going into the All-Ireland series after having played Armagh, and, well, it would be Monaghan now rather than Derry, you know, that would take its toll down the road. And it's no coincidence, like, Kerry won their 87th Munster title yesterday, 87. And since the All-Ireland quarterfinals came in, they've never missed it out once. They've got there every single year. You know, so, you know, that's... That is an advantage when you come to the later part of the season. I think Jim is very much obsessed with Kerry, like he would have been... with Dublin 2014. You know, it was even earlier in the league. I know he put a lot of pressure on the county board. So we knew we had Kerry at home, and it was early in the league when they're often very vulnerable, and he wanted that game in Ballyshannon no matter what, not Letterkenny, because Ballyshannon had a better record. He wanted to beat, even though, you know, Kerry, I think, had five of the All-Ireland winning team playing on the day, didn't have either the Cliffords. And he knew that was likely to be the case. But it meant a lot to him just to put to bed, even with a league win, to get every advantage over Kerry. But Kerry are very dangerous now. Like what happened with Michael Murphy in the league final, I've never seen the hysteria. The like afterwards. Like, he punched somebody and he should have been sent off. He punched somebody when tackling. And you go over the history of Gaelic football at all levels, thousands of players have punched somebody when tackling. Like, I don't know what happens, he got away with it. But it's been highlighted so much that I think, you know, I honestly thought, because there was so much being made out of it, I honestly thought he'd be better off being suspended for the Down game, you know, and put it to bed then. But there's a lot of scrutiny on him now, especially going in against Kerry. And you look at, like, Daryl O'Shea's column in the Irish Times, which was before the draw was made, but he said Murphy should have been dealt with there and then on the pitch. Yeah. A box in the jaw is a box in the jaw, and you can't be a team and let that slide. Murphy needed to be reminded of that, and if it meant a Kerry player taking a card, so be it. You know, when people talk about Kerry, people being cute, but Dara's not being cute there. He's putting that out, you know, the equivalent of 20-foot high letters with a spotlight on them, that this is what you have to do, Kerry, when you come up against Murphy again. And Kerry's thing has always been what they call hammer the hammer. They go after the key man, and they will go after Murphy big time in Killarney.
They will. I totally agree with you, yeah. They're definitely shining the spotlight on, because they know how integral he is. Frank, you didn't really ever box people when you were playing. People were trying to box you, right?
Oh yeah, very clean, trying
to catch you. Frank, what's the mindset then? As Kieran was saying there, you know, Jim, obviously there's an obsession with Kerry, because certainly after the final they are obviously the team to beat. Kieran mentioned the five, they only had seven of that same starting team against Cork, yet Cork couldn't beat them. If Donegal now have this big lead in time to this game, Frank, is there a danger that, again, like the league final, after the wee bit of hurt of maybe the Down performance, that we nearly come in too fast to this? Or how would you play out, or how, knowing Jim, would you know that we go into this game in terms of how we deal with this in the All-Ireland series to come?
I know it's a difficult one with a new format, not a difficult one, as in both teams, no doubt both Jack O'Connor and Jim McGuinness are going to go and put their best foot forward and try and win the game. But I think maybe secretly both camps could well be happy with the draws, and, you know, Kerry Donegal is going to go head to head and play, and the winners are going to head into the next round. Losers are still in the championship, and there could be a guarantee that the next time they can possibly meet is the All-Ireland final. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I suppose after the league final, and I suppose the hysteria and I suppose the performance of Kerry on that day, I'm sure that's going to be there. that's going to be their fire, I suppose, heading into this game. Donegal's probably going to have the hurt from the down loss and the manner in which they, you know, they give up that the Ulster Championship. So the two of them are probably going to have their own reasons and fire. You mentioned that fight, that reason to get at it. And I do think both teams, and I hope both teams do go at it, you know. And then I suppose Wonder, you're heading into another round of competitive teams. You know, there's going to be strong teams in the winner section, possibly strong teams in the loser section, and depending on the draw you fall into. So both ways, the winners and losers are going to still come out very much in the championship list, and that's probably the most intriguing side of things as to what way both teams approach this, you know, and go after it. I do think for Donegal's overall campaign, they need to get the performance, and I think regardless of result, I think they do need the performance to say that yes, we're at it, and we're showing even the basics of speed and fitness, and we're there for the 70 minutes. I think once Donegal gets those things right, I think they won't be far away. I think with Kerry's won there in the Munster Championship, I think, with the Paddy O'Shea Cup been named for the first year, I think that was always probably going to be a number one for them, that they were bringing that back to Kerry. This certainly wasn't going to be the year that they were going to let anything slip in Munster. And for all these provincial champions now that's heading into the All-Ireland Series, even the likes of Roscommon with the hype and the euphoria of their Connacht Championship won yesterday. You know, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to be coming up against a Tyrone team, a Donegal team that's really just chomping at the bit to get their championship campaign up and running. And I suppose after both those games, things could look very, very differently for all counties. And that's probably the most interesting thing with the new format now, you know, that the provincial championships, winners and losers, you know, regardless of disappointment or delight with your provincial championship, we're all back to a level playing field heading into the All-Ireland Series now.
Definitely. Kieran, just on that, if we go to Kerry, let's say, you know, and we beat them again, that's three times, does it, this season, potentially, as Frank was saying, we probably, if we were to meet again, it would have to be something like a final. But does a lot of this come down to the Kerry injury situation? I mean, we've seen Big Henrik going off yesterday, Paddy Clifford went off, another couple of starters had to retire off. You know, they have a massive injury problem. Could that be the difference?
To be honest, Brendan, you know, we're making the assumption that some other fellas are, you know, would be certain starters if they're fit. Yeah. And I honestly think there's probably close on 25 Kerry players that Jack O'Connor would trust to play championship football as starters. You know, which, you know, there was talk yesterday, and there's something to it, that they're starting to build a new Kerry team, that a lot of the fellas that were there from the middle of the last decade, they're either coming to the end or being slow, you know, kind of phased out, that there's another very good team being built. And you know, I think partly as well, you know, looking at it yesterday, I thought definitely he'd one eye on the Donegal game. You know, that some of the substitutions made, you know, were minded players because of the All-Ireland Series. And I know the loser was still, you know, is obviously still alive. But if you won the first game, particularly if it's your home game, you know, you're more or less, you have one foot in the All-Ireland quarterfinals. And if you qualify, you know, you want to avoid playing straight into the quarterfinals. Like if Donegal lose, they'll probably, you know, they won't get any break before the All-Ireland quarterfinals, and that could take its toll. But you know, their ability to go for the juggler, like look at David Clifford. Like if you watched the Armagh game against Down, Armagh scored 8 fisted points, and I would say that's a record. Like nobody tallies these things, but I would say no team has ever scored 8 fisted points at championship football before. When Clifford came cutting in along the right touchline, most players, most forwards, even top forwards, would have fisted the ball over the bar. But you could tell by the way he bounced the ball out the way solo that he only had goal on his mind. And that, you know, that makes them very dangerous. And I'd be worried about Clifford again. I know we were obsessed about him before the league final, before last year's All-Ireland final. And Caelan McColgan did well on him. And what did he score? Did he? Well, he got 1-2. Yeah, but up to 10 minutes ago, yeah. I think he only had a point or scored or something. But I think he'll be sore, and he'll be thinking, you know, a young fella that he probably never heard of, because Kerry players never heard. No, many players out of the county have found, he'll want to make his impact. But even though there's a back door there, I think it's a tough road for the loser. And it's not like the old system, the old qualifier system. Like, you go back, like Michael Murphy made his debut in qualifier against Leitrim. Like, you would play the likes of Carlo, or you could play London or whatever you could be drawn against. But it's the top 16 teams now. Like, there is a fair chance you could get a tricky draw in the other games as well. So if you won the first one, you know, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, definitely. Frank, what do you think, to chat the Oisín before, you know, we were speaking about, obviously, that day, you know, Donegal getting a boss carry everywhere. Mark and Clifford, you play both sides of that, Frank. We look at it now and we bemoan that there's no cornerbacks or fullbacks. Like, there used to be. They're a very odd one, let's say. But, you know, when you look at it, years ago, you had a certain pocket or channel you kind of played in, and most of the balls were, like, you know, direct balls in, and you fought it out by a cornerback. Now, if you look at a lot of the defensive play, the defender's kind of on the back foot with his back to goals. The forward is facing the goals. He's got multiple options. He can turn right, left, he can pass it. There's men coming off the shoulder. You know, on top of it, there's no doubt with the blanket defence times, Frank, that the one man-for-man defender goes down. But when you look at it as well, there's so many options for the man in possession now. It's a bit of a nightmare for a defender. I'm sure you'd rather do your forward line duties now than be stuck in the defence.
Definitely the top three is the place to be, I think. It's, you know, rather than getting caught in the defending 11. And you see that so often, you know, as in, even with the likes of Clifford there, you know, it's not just about beating them to the ball or you know, marking them from out in front or watching the high ball. You know, you've got a mind then for him going in the loop and getting on the end of a two-pointer, you know, as far out as the 45 or 50-metre line for David Clifford. You know, it's so much. And then I see teams even, that this might start off with a zonal defence, but especially with the likes of the Kerry forward line, with the movement and the pace that they have at times, I think after a few minutes of attack and play, everyone ends up having to tag man to man, and then that's where the 1v1 start to crop up. And I suppose teams are probably that well drilled now, and I suppose the analysis of opposition teams is probably at that high level that they're almost, you know, almost pinpointing certain people to get the 1v1s on. And that scenario where they're actually facing them up and defender with their back to the goal and forwards coming at them, you know, with the ball in their hands facing the goals, it's a difficult position to be in for defenders, because everyone else is probably busy tagging. And I felt that's one thing that Donegal did do really well in Croke Park in the league final, while Kerry were well below their usual standards. You know, that centre zone was very well manned, and Donegal seemed to always have the spare man on the far side of the pitch where they were able to deal with if the switch did come. Whether they're able to do that, you know, again and replicate that, I suppose time will tell now in 2 weeks' time whether they can get that same structure and that same scenario that they had in the league final. But it's certainly going to be a massive task, you know, heading into Killarney. But I do think Donegal, I suppose, if a lot will depend on the personnel they have in the pitch and with regards to injuries as well. Michael Langan obviously is going to be a huge factor in that. You know, if he's back in the pitch and playing well, I think it's going to give Donegal that extra boost that they're certainly going to need heading into a match against Kerry.
Yeah, Kieran, just on that tactical change, you know, you look at Jim's teams were famous for defence first, you know, that was the core built. Are we asking a lot sometimes maybe of Donegal? It's not that they ripped the script up completely, but they did completely change format in terms of going out, going after teams, as Frank said. It was very impressive, particularly in that league final. But I thought at half time against Down we should have reverted back. You made a good point about obviously Keelan tracking Murdoch and that. I thought we needed to get a solid defence back as we were last year, be a bit negative and kind of, you know, slow down, get ourselves into the game because we were so wide open. I suppose it's getting that them two sides of that game right, and maybe in game, Kieran, being ready to switch up at times and really drop in deep where we have to if we're struggling a wee bit in the match.
Yeah, and you know, there's another thing as well, Brendan. I think he needs to show a bit more trust in some players, because I honestly don't think, you know, well, I know it's not, we don't have the proven bench that we used to have to the same extent. The bench isn't proven to the same extent as we had. And because of that, I'd be a bit slow to, like Oisin Gall and Ryan McHugh were taking off the last day. And maybe there's a knock there, a niggle that we don't know about. Like, we're not inside the camp. But sometimes, you know, you do look at players and think, you know, am I sure this person, you know, am I doing the right thing to get this fella out when, you know, I don't really know what this other chap is going to give me. But the big change now is that I think we have to stop calling it the new rules soon, because I've been in for a while now. But the big thing is that possession has never been more important, and you have to end your possession with a shot. And, you know, the like kickouts, you know, were always a big deal, and winning midfield was always a big deal, but it's everything now. Like, you have to clean up on your own kickout and do a decent job on the opponents as well to have any inroads. And that was where Donegal were brilliant in the league final. Like, the amount of shots that got away was unbelievable, and then they were very clinical with them, but they weren't clinical at all against Down, and a lot of work will have been put into that in the last few weeks. And I suspect that Jim's focus over the last few weeks has been on themselves. You know, it hasn't been on who we might be playing, or since the draw came in on Kerry, to the extent as maybe in the past. I think focusing very much on getting themselves right.
Yeah, totally agree. Kieran, Frank, just on the Donegal scenario, I want to just a couple of questions across the actual other draw. Frank, last question. What do you think then Donegal is going to need to beat Kerry in the game in 2 weeks?
I think, I suppose, as I've mentioned before, the midfield battle is probably going to be the big thing, and that one enough primary possession. That's probably one area where we never seem to get on top against Down. Down always seem to come up with a kick out after one or two kick outs. If Donegal would won one or two, you know, we didn't get that 3, 4, 5 kick outs in a row where we penned them in. You know, and I think if they're going to one down in Killarney, they're going to have to have a period of dominance out round the middle of the field. And that's not out of Donegal's reach. You know, they have the personnel, you know, across the middle. If you take Jason McGee, Hugh McFadden, Keane McGonigal, Michael Langan, you know, Donegal early, you know, they're well fit to go and dominate a team. And I think that's probably going to be the base to go and win the game. On the defence, on the overall play, then you find this in games, you know, that teams almost in a 5-6 point lead are probably at their most vulnerable, you know, with the way the games are going now. I suppose years ago you would have dropped in and been happy enough in around the 21 to force them to tap the ball over the bar, you know, take a point, where you're kind of really stuck in a rock and a hard place. And when you have that 4 or 5 point lead anymore, you can't drop in because it had a 2-pointer, which is nearly as good as a goal. You go pushing out to stop the 2-pointer, and suddenly you're opened up and behind for a goal chance then, you know. So it's very difficult, you know, and you mentioned that in-game management. It's very hard to pinpoint a structure or a game plan that is good enough or suitable to play 70 minutes of football and be in any way confident that that's going to be the format that's going to win you the game. You know, during games, you know, it has to be flexible, and it has to change. And I suppose the one big thing from the games that we're seeing now is, you know, it's players' actions on the pitch, you know, that is turning games, whether they're planned or scripted or organised, or whether it's just players taking it on themselves to go and do something, or to go and win the game, or to go and influence the game for their team. There's pivotal moments, you know, while they mightn't look like much, but it's those small little moments where the ball's won the tight sideline, or you break out of a high press and get down the field, or you get a turnover from a high press that seems to be just turning games on their head. And when you have a game of football, you know, that's a fine line like that, I think any team is capable of beating each other, and that's pretty much got to be the motto and the thoughts of Donegal heading down to Killarney, that, you know, they're going to be in the game hopefully with 15-20 minutes to go, and with the right decision making and the right action from the players in the pitch, they're going to be good enough to go and get the one.
I can just see you now, Frank, passing on that knowledge to Glenn Thun, man. I can see it now.
It's not working too well.
It'd love me for the want of you up there, I'll tell you that, Frank. You're no better man. Kieran, tell me this. Kieran McGinney, is he one of the happiest men about? That's psychological. They're desperate. You know, you mentioned earlier that Ulster's not as big as massive for them, even though they won all Ireland. There was only one thing in Armagh's mind every year. It was they won Ulster. But the fact now that we're out of the equation, is that massive for our man now going in against this Monaghan team who never say die? It's still set up for a brilliant final.
Yeah, well, he would be very much guarding against any complacency, because there will be hot favourites. You know, Monaghan did remarkably well to come out of that, but Derry will still be trying to figure out how they lost that game. You know, they did enough to win three games, really, and like the fact they give up such strong winning positions at different times, you know, won't sit well with them. Armagh have been very, like, talking to you there about, you know, earlier about the amount of players Donegal left the Donegal panel, but a huge amount left the Armagh panel against last year. And Armagh are in the county, they've had underage success really. And a long time at any kind of consistent level. And then across McGlen, you know, their dominance at club level ended a good while ago as well. So the fact that he keeps, you know, them up there all the time is a testament to him. And like you go back to it, I think, was it his first 5 or 6 years as Armagh manager? Didn't win a single game.
That's right, yeah.
And you look at where they're now, you're like, most counties, he would have been... could have been thrown off a cliff, you know, yeah. if he had that kind of record. But
thrown off Sleeve League.
Yeah. We won't get into that.
sorry. Yeah, move on. Listen, hey, Kieran, or Frank, tell me, just a word on the Rossies yesterday. We have to give a shout out to them as well. What a phenomenal game of football. You already mentioned, Frank, you can't really play the game any kind of one way. There's so much opportunity, but certainly Mark Dowd, you know, most unassuming top flight manager you could get on there. He's really put some kind of backbone into them. I mean, myself and Oisin were down earlier in the league where, you know, huge breeze. We had pulled level maybe about 40 minutes in the second half and just thought Donegal was going to destroy them. We've seen that backbone. We've seen them beating Mayo last day out in the game. You know, Galway had the game sewn up. If that was Roscommon the last couple of years, they've been beaten. And I thought, you know, Darragh Craig, I thought epitomised that. He missed an absolute sitter when he comes on and he hits that unbelievable two-pointer and Roscommon come through. So brilliant year for them so far.
Yeah, definitely. And even the league campaign going back, you know, for Roscommon, they always would have been seen as a kind of a bouncing up and down team, you know, 1 year promoted and next year they would have been kind of your favourites for relegation. But I think, you know, throughout the league, the games they were competitive, they picked up 8 points throughout the league, you know, with good victories against some of the top teams in the country. And, you know, they seem to have kept that steadiness, you know, into the championship. Teams can always have good league campaigns, but then just can't maintain it into the championship. But even yesterday, there's huge questions asked of them yesterday and they were well fit to respond, you know, but to watch a game of football like that with the two-pointers flowing in the first half, you'd have thought Galway were home and host, you know, hitting 5 two-pointers in the first half for only for Roscommon to come back out in the second half and you know, do every bit as much. And even with 6 points down, you know, with, you know what, 12, 13 minutes on the clock, you know, huge resilience, and not just resilience, but composure. Even the goals they took, you know, you would think there was no pressure on those goals. They just seemed to stroll through. And even the Heenan, you know, waiting for the keeper to go one way and something just happened under the side of the net. And he made that look as if that was a, you know, just a simple tapping. Whereas, it, you know, for to have that composure and not get carried away and blast your foot through the ball, you know, it showed real confidence in their own ability and their team's ability. And I suppose that shone through in the end. It's the one thing that Martin Dowd did speak about, you know, after the game, that was his target, to show these boys that they were capable and good enough to go and compete with the top teams. And they've certainly shown that this year. And I suppose winning that in the Hyde as well is probably that extra bit special for them and sweeter for them, with the Roscommon support that they had yesterday was phenomenal. So it was, and they deserved their Connacht Championship medal, and even sweeter, I suppose, in the Hyde. And they look to push on now into the All-Ireland too with plenty of confidence.
Yeah, certainly. Kieran, we're just down to the last 90 seconds. Tell me, obviously you have Roscommon, you've, you know, a new name-ish on Ulster in terms of being massive for Armagh or Monaghan. Mark McHugh's Westmeath, what a story that could be. It'll be phenomenal to have these teams. I mean, football's in a good place and McHugh doing a great job down there.
Yes, you know, he's done very well, you know, and like he's a few years coaching under his belt now in various setups, and you know, stand him, like, he's very young to be involved at inter-county level, but it's a big commitment to be travelling up and down to Westmeath. But he's got a, you know, they've won 3 championship games, you know, which and you know, they're losing Luke Laughlin, you know, midway through, their best player forward by a mile, you know, losing halfway through the Meath game, but they still have kept going. Dublin will be a big ask. Like, nobody really talking much about Dublin, but if they get their strongest team on the field, and, you know, Conor O'Callaghan especially, you know, Dublin are a match for most teams, especially with the in attack. Their defence mightn't be what it was, but I think, you know, Kerry do look to be, you know, justifiably hot favourites, but there are a lot of teams there that will be confident of doing something this summer.
Yeah, certainly. Listen, folks, that was a brilliant wrap-up. That's Kieran Cunningham there and Frank McGinn. Thanks you so much, lads, for taking time out this evening and joining us on the DL Debate.
Cheers, Brendan. Thank you.
No bother. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Really loved that chat. That was first class. Thanks very much here to Oisin Kelly for producing this evening. Of course, Mickey McCann, who was on earlier in the show. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions that's coming up shortly. And myself and Oisin and Brendan Kilcoyne will be heading to Killarney in a couple of weeks' time to bring you all the action from that first round championship game. Donegal away to Kerry. Let's bring it on. Check this.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.